Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Much for tuning in. Welcome to hour two of Live the Promise. So glad to have you along today. And if you just tuned in and you missed our first hour and you need a fresh reminder of how much God loves you, that you are the object of his affection, you got to catch the podcast, myfaithradio.com. We just talked, I pulled content out of my book, The Uncommon Woman, but it's for men too. I know we've got half and half with men and women listening, talking about just those encounters with God that just change our story. They change our perspective of ourselves and even others. If you just tuned in, I want you to get the podcast, myfaithradio.com. So excited now for hour two. Got my friend Lisa Harper joining us today, and she's just a blast. She's like a party favor because she's hilarious and fun, but she's got so much biblical depth to share with us. Title of her book that we're talking about today is Overextended and Loving Most of It, The Unexpected Joy of Being Harried, Heartbroken, and Hurling Oneself Off of Cliffs. And Lisa, I'm going to give you a formal introduction, even though you don't really need one, but I really want to honor you. Lisa Harper is the author of 10 books, a featured woman of faith speaker, gifted communicator whose writing and speaking overflows with colorful pop culture references that connect the dots between the Bible era and modern life. For 6 years, she was the National Women's Ministry Director at Focus on the Family. You can find her on the web at lisaharper.net. Lisa, bless you. Thanks for joining us today.
And then, Susie, if you're gonna just tell the shiny stuff, you probably need to share some bad stuff, too, to balance it out.
Yeah, well,
you know, that's all
okay.
Smoke and mirrors. That doesn't tell you any of the bad stuff.
You set me up so perfectly.
Very gracious, though. You always treat me much better than I deserve.
Oh, you're so funny. I asked her before the show, is it okay if we bring up the bathroom issue? Because last time, so she teed me up. I mean, this is a true friend right here.
Right.
So, oh, my goodness, last time, most people, Lisa, would have canceled, but you had a toilet back up when you had a plumber come,
yes,
and you're like,
I
could hear him working in the background, and you're just sort of scooting away. We're still going to do the show goes on, and I just thought, you're a hero.
Hey, I love me some Susie. So, you know, plumbers, overflowing toilets, who cares?
Right.
Well, I have a cottage out in the country, and I, as you know, I've been in the process of adopting this little girl, and so I just thought, you know, I'm going to turn the whole attic into, you know, a child's loft with a bathroom and all this stuff. And if you could, I mean, it's really a good thing this is radio, because I literally have a hole in my ceiling between her potty and the downstairs laundry area that it's still not fixed. I mean, it's just comical. But and just a minute ago, right before you came on, she came in here. I brought her home 3 months ago from Haiti, but she came in here and for some reason has felt compelled to disrobe her bottom half. She's 5 years old, and she came in here just serious as a heart attack with a shirt on and nothing else and a darling pink bow in her hair and said, Mama, Pirate's Booty. And she's just learned to speak English. She loves Pirate's Booty popcorn. And so I'd already told her she had to be very quiet. She had to stay back in her bedroom. But she came marching in here, you know, bottom half, fully naked, asking for Pirate's Booty. So I thought between plumbers, partial nudity, and overflowing toilets, I'm probably one of your more colorful guests.
Absolutely, without
That's
a
right.
doubt.
We'll get to Jesus. We will definitely get to Jesus. But we're going to talk about how desperately people like me need grace.
Well, I'm telling you what, Jesus is all over that story. And we're going to, I can't wait to just unpack the story of Missy and I mean, the cover, the girl on the cover of Overextended looks so much like her. She's on a swing and she's looking upside down. And you said there's a picture of Missy in the back. But your journey was full of heartbreak before that you came to the promised land of getting this little girl. And I'm really looking forward to unpacking that. First, if you don't mind, I want to ask if there's a passage of scripture, either that's a life verse or just something that's been jumping off the page at you these days.
You know, kind of for the last year, the passage that I just don't feel like, you know, whatever I'm studying at the time is my favorite verse. I love God's word because it's just life. But I haven't felt like I could get away from Romans 8, that beginning of Romans 8, which I always think is kind of like the, I mean, it's the sweet spot of Scripture. If you didn't know anything else, but you got Romans 8, you would understand God's unconditional love for us. But the very beginning of that passage, which is, you know, to me, just the core of our theology, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Then it goes on to say, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And I just, maybe it's turning 50, maybe it's getting discounts at McDonald's, you know, because of AARP, Miss C. There, you know, there's just a number of things that have brought this new joy into my life. But freedom has been this common denominator. And so that would be the passage that I just feel like I've been marinating in for about the last year and a half.
Wow, thanks so much for sharing that. You know, and I had it in my notes that I was going to ask about Missy and spend the whole last third, fourth section on it. But I can't wait. So I want us to dig in. But before you get into Missy, you had a failed adoption. And if you don't mind just sharing that, because I know that there's somebody listening today who's in the throes of absolute disappointment thinking, I'm extended, I'm exhausted, and my dream failed.
Right.
Where do I go from here? So we've just you've been there. So talk about what that's been
like. Sure. I mean, I've had a lot of dreams die and a lot of disappointment. I mean, I think that's just a human condition. You know, we can paste a happy face on it, but everybody has been through pain and disappointment, and it's all relative. You know, some people have something that's just excruciating. As we watch from a distance, maybe, you know, they go through a divorce or lose a child. And then you think, well, my pain's relative because I'm just dealing with a prodigal child or you know, I'm just dealing with this extra 20 pounds I can't get off. But the human condition is full of pain because we live in a world that's broken by sin. And so there is ongoing pain and disappointment here. You know, Jesus says that when he says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And the two real great griefs of my life were not getting married. And, you know, I know there's still hope for that if that's God's will, and not being a mama. And I tease and say my husband is lost, won't stop to ask for directions because I'm 50 and not married. But the truth of the matter is I was just so broken in my 20s and 30s. I knew Jesus as my Savior, but I was still really oppressed by shame and was very drawn to abusive men. And so God protected me from those abusers I was drawn to. And then the few good, godly guys I dated, he protected them from me because my heart was just such a colander. You know, good love really leaked through. And so, you know, I found myself 40 and unmarried and childless. And I just, the little pirate's booty child has just walked back in the room very quietly.
This is a family-friendly show. She can be part of it.
Right. That's right. She loves her popcorn. But I had been praying about adoption, but I really didn't feel like I could adopt being single because I think every child deserves a mom and a dad. But I had some friends who just said, you know, Lee, she really should continue praying about this because there's 147 million orphans in the world, you know, give or take a few million. And for many of them, they don't have a shot at a mom and a dad for whatever reason, whether it's sickness or special needs or just their birth circumstances. Nobody's going to pick them up. And so they said, for those kids, you know, the option is somebody like you, even though you're single, saying, I'll sign up for that child or death. And so I really prayed through that for a long time and ended up, it's a long story, but I got connected with a young woman who is a crack addict. I work a volunteer lot with women who are in recovery, and this little girl wasn't yet in recovery. And she was a prostitute and had gotten pregnant through one of her Johns and didn't know who the dad was. And as a drug addict, she wasn't able to keep her child, but she didn't want to keep her baby. It was a miracle that she decided to carry the baby to term. And we got connected, and she chose me to be the mom of her little girl. And so I was in her story for 5 months, you know, went to the doctor's appointments, helped turn her pregnancy. Every week was a miracle that she carried the baby one more week because she just could not get off crack. It was, you know, it was a miracle that the baby didn't die in utero. And everything was done. You know, the papers had been signed. Everything was done. And then 5 days before that little girl was born, I'm not a liberty legally to share what happened, but it the bottom fell out, and I didn't get to be your mama. And I mean, it definitely knocked the wind out of my heart. You know, I just felt like I'd been slugged in the chest, and it was heart-wrenching. It was absolutely heart-wrenching. I know God is faithful. He's always faithful, and He's a redeemer, and He will restore unto us the years the locusts have eaten, but that was a crushing blow. I think it would have been easier had the circumstances for this little mama and her little girl been better, because of the drug culture she was entrenched in. It was not one of those stories you can wrap a bow around and ends happily. Frankly, it's still a very sad story. But it was 3 weeks after I lost that adoption, after that failed adoption, and I actually had another one I don't talk about publicly, but there was another adoption after that failed. So Missy was actually the third one, and I wasn't planning to adopt internationally. I was just trying to follow the Lord's lead. You know, in Isaiah it says He'll tell you when to turn to the right or when to turn to the left. At that point, I was just trying to put one foot in front of the other, quite frankly. Wasn't sure which way to turn. And some friends called, and they had just been to Haiti, and they said, "We know you're still grieving the loss of this baby, but while we were in Haiti, a mom down there died of AIDS, and she didn't know she had AIDS until, well, she never knew. She passed away, and the doctors tested her and said she had AIDS." And so they said they needed to test her little girl, who was 2 and a half, and she was HIV positive, and nobody knew her daddy. And the family, her maternal grandmother, didn't want to keep her and didn't have the means to keep her or for medication. And my friend said, you know, they said, if she stays in Haiti, she'll go in the Haitian route, and having HIV and being an orphan, she'll die in a couple of months, because she also had tuberculosis. But they said, if someone from a first world country will commit to adopt her, then your adoption fees will pay for her meds. And so they said, no pressure, but would you pray about this? And I told him I didn't need to pray about it. I'd been praying about it for about 30 years. And so I said, I will be her mama. Mm. And then after I committed to be her mom, I thought, oh, crud. I don't know anything about this child. I haven't seen a picture. I mean,
really?
What if I see your picture? And I, you know, and oh, sure. I was actually at an event with Sheila Walsh, and we both burst into tears because Sheila's kind of like a big sister, and she was really grieved the loss of that first adoption with me. But Sheila and I both like started crying tears of joy. And then she was like, "Lisa, what's her name?" And I was like, "I don't know." And she was like, "What does she look like?" I was like, "I don't know. I just know she's in Haiti and she's 2 and a half and she needs a mama." And you know, when her picture finally loaded, it took like 30 minutes for it to load from Haiti on the internet. And I mean, Susie, it was the coolest thing, because when I was 17 years old in high school, my best friend and I did a Bible study on adoption. And of course, we were kids. We didn't know what we were doing, but we just kept seeing the word adoption, like in Romans. You know, it's mentioned several times. And so we did a Bible study on the theme of adoption in the gospel and how we're adopted as God's children. And my best friend's name is Cindy, growing up, and we both just decided, and of course we meant it sincerely, but you know, we were wet behind the ears 17-year-olds, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and we committed as seniors in high school that we were going to adopt. We really felt like God had called us to that, and we were both gonna adopt children. And of course we had no idea, as 17-year-olds, that she and her husband would struggle with infertility, and she would actually go on to adopt 2 children. And, of course, had no idea that 30 years later I would still be single and I would end up getting to be the adoptive mama of this pumpkin from Haiti. But I think how sweet that God even breathed that dream into our life all those years ago. And
absolutely.
So it's been a hard but sweet journey.
Amazing. Talking to Lisa Harper, title of her book is Overextended and Loving Most of It, talking about those highs and lows and about really what the difference is between an abundant, full life and a stressed, harried life. Sometimes they look a lot alike. We're going to talk more with Lisa Harper in a moment. If you've got a question for her, we'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Don't go away. More with Lisa Harper in just a moment.
I would say that just being busy for the purpose of being or doing something that you feel like you need to spend your time in, it just makes you tired and you don't really feel like you're accomplishing a purpose. But if you are busy and you have a purpose and you have a reason and there's an end in sight and you're excited about what you're doing, I feel like you have more satisfaction in your life and you do accomplish more in that way.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Welcome to Hour 2 of Live the Promise. Lisa Harper joins us today. In the first segment, she talked about her adoption story, and she's got this little beautiful Haitian girl named Missy. And I'm telling you, I told you before you came on the show, when I watch some of the videos you post on Facebook, my face hurts from smiling so big. It seems like she's just adapted to being loved profoundly so. I mean, tell us about that.
Yeah. I was actually just had a play date right before this interview with Natalie Grant and her youngest, Sadie. And, you know, Natalie struggled for years, she and Bernie, with infertility. And she's prayed with me through this journey with Missy and has been, I'm so blessed to have such a sweet community in Nashville. But we both, like, hugged each other and got teary to see our little girls playing together because it's such a dream come true. But she was like, Lisa, I can't believe it. It's like she's always been yours. And I'm really, really blessed with that because, you know, with adoptive kids, of course, you know, when you have biological kids, they test your faith too. But I had met with several professionals and I continue to go to a Christian counselor who specializes in adoption transitions. And so I was at least cognitively prepared. I'd read all the books, you know, been to the counseling sessions of it to be a really, really, really rough transition, especially given the fact that, you know, Missy's just learning English and my Creole is abysmal. And so, you know, we have a communication problem or a gap. And it has been the sweetest transition. It's not always easy. About maybe a month in, one day I had to stiff myself to see if I was wearing deodorant because, you know, just, man, going from being 50 and single and then all of a sudden having this 5-year-old in your house, you know, I was exhausted. But it has just been sweet. Last night she was trying to get me to stay in her room later. And I said, no, baby, you know, mama's got to leave. And we have, you know, this little ritual where we have songs and we have a prayer time. And so I said, no, honey, mama's going to her room. And she goes, mama, let's pray. So, you know, she's already learned how to manipulate me. If she says to pray some more, I'll stay in a room longer.
Exactly.
But she's a very joyful, adaptable, flexible, strong-willed little peanut. And so it has been an absolute treat. We went to Dollywood this past week, and I bought her a funnel cake bigger than her head. And, you know, it's just hilarious because she has just bloomed with being loved. So she needed medicine, and she needed love. And I prayed, just decided God has done such amazing things. And of course, He is an amazing God, even if it wasn't working out so well. But I thought, you know, I'm just going to pray that her HIV is undetectable by Christmas. And I thought, I know that's a really audacious prayer, but I'm going to go ahead and start praying that. And I sometimes have such weeny faith, but God has really bolstered my faith by what He's done in the last few years. And even the heartbreak, His presence in the heartbreak has bolstered my faith. So I thought, I'm just going to pray this audacious prayer. And Susie, it was the coolest thing because after she had been home, we just celebrated our 3-month anniversary, but after she had just been home about a month, I got a call from Vanderbilt, and they said, we just wanted to call and tell you that we just got her blood results back, and her HIV is undetectable.
Wow.
And I said, Nat, wait a minute. What exactly do you mean by undetectable? Because I thought there must be another criteria. You know, there must be, like, a different kind of undetectable. Because I thought, there's no way. It's too soon. And you could tell the nurse thought I was dumb as a rock. She was like, undetectable means we can't detect. I was like, well, yeah, I know that undetectable. But I thought maybe there was another medical undetectable. And they said, no, you know, she has to take her meds. But they said, as long as she keeps taking her meds, she is healthy as a horse. And, you know, that's only God. It is such a miracle. So it has been, you know, I'm exhausted. I'm old as dirt. There are definitely hardships in that. I was at her school the other day because she starts school the second week of August, and I was meeting with the headmaster, and he was telling me some of the things they expect of parents. She's going to a school where half of the kids are from low-income families, and then the other half, it's a private Christian school, but it's just the coolest way they set it up because it's, you know, it's every color of the rainbow, and I just love the school. But anyway, he was telling me what they expect of the parents, and I kept crying. And you could tell he thought, this chick is a nutter. And I said, I'm just so grateful. I said, I will be at every volunteer night, every parent-teacher thing. I said, I may get jaded after a couple of months. I said, but Dr. Tetler, you've got to understand, I didn't think I was going to get to be a mama. So to get to volunteer for her Christmas recital, I will be there with bells on. Mm. So it's just, it is just a really sweet season. And there may be hardships ahead. You know, some of the adoption specialists say that sometimes it's a year, 10 years later, that it's really difficult or they really rebel. And so, you know, we'll deal with that when we hit that. And we've had our hard times. I mean, I've had to, you know, I'm learning to discipline in better ways. And one night I so lost my patience, I said, Mama needs a timeout. I had to leave the room and pray. So I've made already, I think, just about every mistake known to motherhood. But I found that love and consistency covers a multitude of sins. And we have worship music playing in the house all the time, so it reminds both of us to look to Jesus. But it has been, I never knew. Natalie said today, she said, do you feel like your heart is going to burst? It's so big. And I said, that's exactly how I feel. So it's been sweet, Susie.
Wow. You know, I'd love to know, has your perspective on the Lord changed? Your sense of his love for you as you've, in a tangible way, known a love for another little one?
You know, it has. And I, there's so many things that I know sound almost rote, almost like a Hallmark card, that when you get to be a parent, and I so want to be careful here because, as you said, I for so many years wanted to be a mama. And so when women would talk about being a mom, sometimes that can be salt in your wounds. And so I want to be careful that this part of my story is a dream come true. But for other people, as you've mentioned, it can be still a very, very painful place. Or you may have the mama who thinks, I can't handle all the children I have, who's listening, or dad. But yeah, it has given me a different picture of the fatherhood of God. And just, there's sometimes, like last night, you know, after I left her and she cried a little, she has a hard time going to sleep at night. But I always go back upstairs to check on her and just make sure, you know, she's covered up. And I look at this little precious brown sleeping face upstairs where the toilet's still broken. And she's just such a gift from God's hand. And I didn't know I could love this way or this much. And I looked at her, and it's like I just sensed through the Holy Spirit the Lord saying, and so much more. You know, that yes. Parable in the Gospels where it talks about the father with his sleeping children, and it says, how much more?
We'll be right back. Hold on 1 minute.
Busyness serves a bigger purpose, and so you can find more satisfaction in it. It's more of a joyful busyness. I mean, even good busyness can be hard sometimes, but you know the purpose and the drive behind it, and you're excited about the drive behind it.
I think the difference is enjoying the life that you have and not letting the stress overcome who you are, but just living it to the fullest.
All my heart, I believe that power lives in me because of you.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Lisa Harper. We spent the first part of the show unpacking the amazing, miraculous story of Lisa's adoption of little Missy from Haiti. And I love how you were saying, you know, I'm 50 and I've got a five-year-old and you're just learning that it's just trailblazing. But what I'm thinking as I'm listening to Lisa's, you're 50 and you've adopted a five-year-old girl from Haiti who, you know, and you know, you're like, there's so many things I don't have answers to, but we'll take it one day at a time. And I love this quote from your book. You said, I have been stretched way beyond my comfort zone a lot lately, beyond what I thought the elasticity of my heart and mind and some days even my reputation could take. Interestingly enough, it's become much more comfortable. And I think there's something about the stretching process that does make us more pliable in this hand and yet more tough against some of the onslaught of the world. So do this for me. Make the distinction between a busyness, kind of like some of those listeners said, that just don't have a purpose behind it, so there's no life in it, and a busyness that you, a good tired, when you drop in bed, I bet you're a good tired right now. So, make the distinction for us.
Well, several of your listeners said it so well. As a matter of fact, one of them reminded me of the Frederick Buechner quote, and I love that one. Susie, I know you know it, where it says, our calling as believers is where our greatest passion and the world's greatest need collide. And so I think whatever God has wired you to do, you know, in this season of my life, he's wired me to shepherd this five-year-old who needs a mama, needs a lot of love. And so there's balls I'm dropping. I told Natalie today, I said, I have said no to so many commitments I would have said yes to 3 months ago, because she's my priority right now. It's Jesus and Missy. Now, that will change. As she gets in school and she gets more settled, I'll be able to take some of the time I'm focusing on her, and I'll put that back into some writing projects. You know, I'll put that back into to things that I really am called to and I'm committed to. But I think our, you know, our energy will, the Lord will shift our energy. If you're listening to the Spirit, again, it goes back to that promise in Isaiah that he'll tell us when to turn right and turn left. You know, there's going to be seasons that you're going to be put a tremendous amount of energy into certain people and certain callings that God has given you. And he's always going to use your gifts. And, you know, I'm a gabber. You can tell because I can never even hit your commercial time mark. So, of course, that's you know, just exacerbated by the fact that I'm caffeinated over the new moon about Missy and grew up Baptist. So that's like three strikes against
perfect.
You as far as being long-winded. But, you know, he always, because I'm a gabber, I'm probably always going to be in a venue of encouraging, of sharing the gospel, of telling stories about Jesus. But my energy is going to be more focused on some projects than others, depending on what God's called me to that season. So it's like my overall gifting and calling will be in the same direction. But I think wisdom is knowing, okay, where do I say no and it honors the Lord, and where do I say yes and it honors the Lord? And so, I'm definitely burning the candle at both ends in being her mom right now, especially being an older single parent. But I do fall asleep just absolutely fulfilled, and he gives me the grace to keep going. But I have hired someone to travel with me. I do am now starting to use a babysitter. You see, I'm using wisdom even there. Or trying to. I shouldn't say I'm using wisdom, but I'm kind of a kindergartner when it comes to wisdom for resting. But I think it's good for her to have a mom who's not so stretched that I do lose all my elasticity. So I'm taking little breaks here and there just to be alone. The other day I got a pedicure, and I thought I'm gonna sit in the pedicure chair and I'm going to read my Bible. Well, I sat in the pedicure chair and I fell fast asleep. But that was a good hour, you know, because I came out of that rejuvenated, then I dove right back into what I was called to do. So I think if you're following God's leading, his direction, his voice, you know, there are seasons when you will be busy. He says the fields are white for harvest. You may be busy and have a real missional call in your life, but you're doing God's work. And if you're doing that knowing that he can accomplish his purposes without us, so you're not doing it out of duty or out of guilt, you're doing it out of delight in following God, then, you know, we don't have to labor thinking, oh, no, if I don't do this for God, he won't get it done. He will absolutely accomplish his purposes with or without us. He is sovereign and all-powerful. But if you're moving in the, I want to use every gift that he's given me for his honor and glory, and he allows me to be a part of his purpose, that's a whole different kind of energy and purpose.
Indeed. Well, I think about your willingness at this stage of your life to take this audacious flying leap. And I love that God has just given you his glimpses of glory amidst it all. But it still was audacious and wonderful. And there's so many things, as you say, that you don't know the answer to, but you're following him. I feel like you only could have done that because of the battles you've faced in the past. And that's why in that quote you said, in some days, even my reputation. The reason I want to ask about this is because, again, I'm thinking of different listeners right now who've just maybe hit a roadblock. Maybe they've lost their job. Maybe they've just, the dream has come to nothing, and they're feeling like it's a dead end. I feel like the way that you have gotten up again and again, Lisa, and you never let those things define you, whatever it is you've walked through. I know little bits of your story, but I feel like you just keep going. And I feel like this is why God was training you and conditioning you so that, because he knew that you would give him your yes. And so if you don't mind, just look at the past for us a little bit and show us how maybe, what are some of these landmarks that at the moment probably felt like death blows, but you rose up and you thought, this has girded me for this journey.
Well, again, Susie, you're much more gracious than I deserve, because it, my nephew was visiting this past week and they flew out this morning, but I was talking to him last night. And I just said, baby, don't be like me. I said, I knew Jesus as my Savior, but I didn't really know him as my liberator for decades. Mm-hmm. And I said, I spent so much time trying to keep the people around me happy rather than trying to please God first. And I said, do your dance for the Lord. If other people clap, that's cool, but do your dance for Jesus. And so my parents divorced, very, very ugly divorce when I was little. All divorces are ugly, but this one was especially acrimonious. And in the next few years after that, between me being 5 and 7, I was sexually molested by some men who came and went from our family. Mm. And that just, I think, you know, a lot of women, unfortunately, have experienced that, and many men. But that particular experience really left me feeling very, very damaged and very dirty. And, you know, I was already pretty marked by the fact that our dad walked away from us, because as a kid, I thought, you know, there must be something wrong with me. And I think a lot of kids assume that responsibility, at least partially. You think if I was a better kid or a sweeter kid or a prettier kid, maybe he wouldn't have walked away. And that, on top of that, to have the sexual molestation, I always felt like I was a little less than. And so I knew God had saved me from my sins. I put my hope in that when I was a kid, walked an aisle, because the pastor was talking about God being a father who wouldn't walk away. Mm. And I was very drawn to the fatherhood of God, obviously. But I did not really believe that Jesus delighted in me. I really felt like he felt sorry for me. And I didn't think he liked me very much, because I just had too many, you know, mistake stories in my chapter. And so you are very gracious to say I got up again and again and again. It's the mercy of God who just carried me. I have been very slow to learn and not very fast to believe that a perfect God like that really could dance over a girl like me. And it has been God's mercy. You know, he says it's mercy that leads to repentance. And so it's his mercy that has led me away from that trap of being a people pleaser. And I told my nephew last night, I said, honey, I was a liar. I said, you can wrap prettier words around it, but I pretended all the time. Mm. I pretended to be okay when I wasn't really okay. And I said, that was me not trusting that God's close to the brokenhearted. And so I lived as a very oppressed Christian for so many years. Shame really defined me. And I looked happy on the outside, but inside I was pretty crooked. So that's what I'm grateful for. It's like that story, you know, Susie, the story in Luke of the bent over woman, and she's been over for 18 years, and she finally gets so sick and tired of being sick and tired that she interrupts Jesus in the synagogue. And he puts his hand on her, and she stands up straight for the first time in 18 years. I just feel like that's what he's done with me in the last few years. I just feel like he's helped me stand up straight.
Isn't that amazing? And it's just so easy to see from the outside looking in, Lisa, it's easy to see why he loves you so and sings over you the way he does. And I know that brokenness, I know that pain you're talking about in a different story, but in the same way. And he woos us and he saves us and loves us. Love this conversation. More with Lisa Harper in a moment. If you've got a question, we'd love to hear from you. 877-933-2484.
I would say the difference between a highly stressed life and an abundant life is where you place your hope, whether or not you have idols or whether or not you serve the living God.
Having a lot of opportunity and knowing that God has blessed you with those opportunities and taking advantage of the things that God has blessed you with and knowing they're a blessing.
I'm telling you, if that song doesn't stoke your fire, your wood just might be wet. Talking to Lisa Harper, and I just appreciate you telling your story, Lisa. Love you. Love you. You just are such a treasured sister. And this is another quote from your book. Life isn't always orderly, and relationships rarely fold neatly with hospital corners. Real life, abundant life, God-honoring life is about loving Jesus and the people he allows us to rub shoulders with well. And that's so powerful. Let's talk about your blast technique, because this is for all of us. You know, I like that you're addressing the busyness thing, because all busyness isn't bad. I mean, sometimes it's an abundantly fruitful life. Other times it's just the rat race of life. And so, and people can think what they want from the outside looking in, but we're the ones who have to answer to God. But either way, let's talk about the blast technique. The first B is breathe, inhale God's peace. Talk about that.
Yeah, I'm usually not a huge fan of acrostics. I think I told you the last time. I usually lump acrostics and Christmas sweaters in the same category, but because they always seem a little cheesy and insincere to me. But I just am not very good at resting. And so I thought, Lord, I need something I can hang on to, you know, that I can just kind of go back to that's more of a tool. And I don't know if it's helped anybody but me, but I felt like the Lord gave me this acrostic. He may not want credit for it, but the acronym is BLAST, and B does stand for breathe, because I so often have gone charging into something and, you know, gotten really stressed, and it's like the Lord just afterwards said, honey, if you would have just breathed for a minute first, you would have heard me speak to you. And so I've started practicing what I call spiritual deep breathing. You know, oftentimes you hear deep breathing and Christians cringe because we think, oh, it's some weird Eastern meditation. Mm. It's like, no. The pneuma of God is how he describes the Holy Spirit. He's our breath. That's He's our pneuma. He's our breath. And so I practice what I call divine deep breathing, and it's just five times I will inhale, and when I inhale deeply, I think to myself, okay, I'm inhaling God's peace. I'm just going to breathe in God's peace. And then I exhale, and I try to exhale. Literally in my mind, I'll think I'm exhaling, I'm blowing out anxiety. Because that's not from God. He did not give us a spirit of fear. He did not give us anxiety. And so I just will think to myself, it only takes about 30 seconds, but I'll breathe in real deeply and think, okay, Lord, I'm very consciously breathing in your peace that you promise us through your spirit. I'm going to exhale anxiety that I've generated or my circumstances have helped generate. And I do that five times. And in that 30 or 40 seconds of just taking those five deep breaths, it's like then the static in my mind quiets down enough for me to listen to the Lord's voice. So the first step of that blast technique is to breathe.
Love it. And, you know, just from a physical perspective, it levels out our heart rate. It's good for our nervous system. And so the Eastern mystics don't get to hijack that completely. God gave us lungs.
That's right.
We are dependent on oxygen.
That's right.
And we do breathe shortly when we're too stressed out. So it's biblical and it's physical and it's right. So I love it. So then you moved into the next one. Listen, talk about that.
That's right. You know, just throughout Scripture, we see where God is He's our divine GPS. He tells us where to go, what to do. It's just speaking of myself, I oftentimes don't have ears to hear. And it's because I either blindly charge ahead or I cringe back in fear. And so once I've breathed, you're right, Susie, it's like I'm settled out enough to go, okay, now let me listen. So, Lord, give me direction. And he will tell you, go, wait, turn right, turn left. He is very specific in his directions. It's just, again, oftentimes I've got too much static in my head. So the L in the BLAST technique is to listen, take God at his word, ask him, give me specific directions, tell me what to do. And if he says wait, then I oftentimes tell people, then don't do anything.
Right.
You know, we usually want to, you know, do I go, do I turn right, do I turn left? Well, one of his answers sometimes is wait, pause. And it may take a long time when you wait. And then the A stands for ask. And this one is the one that, boy, is I'm kind of like Donald Trump talking about poverty, because I am not very good at this one, but I'm learning to do this more. I just have realized so much of what I worry about or am fearful about is not about today. And I have a wonderful Christian counselor that I've gone to for years, a believer, and she just said, Lisa, so often if you have extreme circumstances, extreme emotions, very intense emotions, like you're very, very fearful or very, very anxious, she said that's rarely about what's happening right then. That's usually about either what already happened to you in the past or what you're afraid might happen in the future. And she said, you know, God says not to worry about that. You deal with what's happening now. So she said, you ask him, is this about today? Or is this about the past? Or is this about the future that I'm not trusting you with? And so often, I used to really struggle if people lost their temper around me, because when I was a kid, there was some violence and there was some abuse. And so if somebody raises their voice, it's almost like I immediately kind of panic. And I realized, that's not about today. I'm not involved in that. They may be just fussing at their kids in the minivan because they've had it, but it's not an abusive situation. It's just a mom briefly losing her temper. And I realized I really had kind of a bruise there from some violence I had observed and been the victim of in my early childhood years. So when I was around anger, even very mild, normal anger, I would overreact. I would kind of almost panic and shut down. And I had to realize, okay, Lord, that's not even about me, certainly not about today. It's about something that happened a long time ago that I haven't really come to you for complete healing. So asking God what that fear or anxiety or stress in you is about, I think that's a real key to de-stressing our lives.
Lisa, I feel like you gave somebody, if not many people, a tool today. Our first hour, we were talking about God's love and just encountering him in the midst of our pain and our mess. And in those places, how he untangles our fears and insecurities and starts to make sense of mm-hmm. things, you know? And mm-hmm. I feel like what you just said is just probably the answer that I think some asked a question that first hour, and this is an answer, where to dare to ask, right. Is this about the past? Is this about the future? Lord, is this about
right.
now? Because there's grace for the now. And
that's right.
Wow, that is powerful.
Right.
Okay, so breathe, listen, ask, asking God mm-hmm. for clarity. The next one is?
Yeah, the next one is, well, I want to stay on ask for one more
sure.
second, because when you said that, Susie, it reminded me, anybody who's even connected with us talking about disappointment, I know you've shared some of the painful places in your story mm-hmm. so often, and encourage your listeners, you know, women who've lost children or want a child, or women who've been, or men who've been sexually molested, and that kind of resonates with them. I felt like the Lord gave me a picture when I was practicing asking him, is it about now, that some of the experiences I had as a kid, they were handprints in the cement of my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's still a handprint there. It's like when you see a kid makes handprints in wet cement on the sidewalk. When it rains, that handprint still collects water. And so you have to recognize, there's a mark there. Now, God has healed me, but I will still be prone to overreact in a circumstance that reminds me of that. So I think sometimes it's even giving yourself extra grace in those situations for me to recognize, okay, there's still a place in me where there is a fearful little girl that I haven't run to the arms of my Abba enough when people are yelling. Mm. And so I think just to even recognize where are those indentations in my heart that a handprint was made, and maybe you didn't even make it. Maybe someone who violated you or wounded you made it. You have to recognize when the circumstances then are stormy, that might collect water. And so bring that to the Lord, and he'll give us peace and healing and grace in that moment. The S is an easy one, and it's to smile. And it's kind of like we talked about breathing. It is physiologically proven that when you smile, there's some de-stressing that takes place physically in your body. And so not a fakey smile. I don't paste on some big Pollyanna smile, but sometimes I'm almost smiling at myself, like, you silly goose. You're getting stressed in this situation again. Just grin. Don't take yourself too seriously. You know, listen, start over. So the S is pretty easy in BLAST. It's just a smile.
Mm. And then the last one, T, is take the next step.
Yeah, yeah. And that used to be hard for me. Sometimes I would get paralyzed by, do I go, do I stay, do I turn right, do I turn left? And a friend just said, do the next right thing. And usually we have that much wisdom. I mean, even if you've just been walking with the Lord for 10 minutes, you have enough wisdom to do the next right thing. So just take the next step. Don't worry about tomorrow or next week. Just do the next right thing. The next right thing might be getting out of bed. You know, it might be, instead of watching this trash on TV, I'm going to turn on some worship music. You know, it's sometimes that next step is so simple, but it's the beginning of a great new directional turn in your life.
Mm, so good. We just have about a minute before I ask you to pray. And I'm thinking of, you know, I love Psalm 46:10, cease striving and know that I am God. And I'm thinking of that person listening today who's in the rat race because they feel they still have something to prove. I love what you said in the beginning of the show, that he was your savior, but you didn't know him as your liberator yet. So they're not free. And so they're striving and driving for all the wrong reasons. Would you just speak to that person right now before we pray?
Oh, absolutely. Susie, I think we talked about this a long time ago about how practically sometimes I encourage the girls I work with who are in recovery to take their clothes out of the dryer and lie back in warm laundry and say, Lord, teach me to trust resting in your arms, and just the tangible feel of that warm laundry, just going, Lord, give me grace to lean into your embrace. And as silly as that sounds, if you'll do that once or twice a week, you will begin to learn what it is to be held by Jesus. And he promises to hold us. And that changes everything. If you operate out of that embrace, changes everything.
Oh, I love it. You know, I once did the study on abiding in me that you bear much fruit out of John 15. And one of the words that abide means is to be held. And so, we, you know, it's like we try to strive to produce more, but we produce more fruit by just that simple next step, walking intimately with God, and the fruit does come out of our lives. It's just an amazing thing. Well, we're just so grateful for your time, Lisa. And I'm just still thinking of that person who's just striving and needs to lay back in the warm laundry and go, I am held. I'm loved by you. I got nothing to prove, and I have everything to gain in you. Would you pray for that person?
Jesus, 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 Lamb of God, Lily of the Valley, the author and perfecter of our faith, our peace. Jesus, we pray that through your Spirit, you just whisper to the men and the women who are listening now who are still striving, who still feel like they're less than or not good enough. Lord, I pray that you would give them the grace to lean in to you, that they would hear you confirm in their hearts that the Spirit of God has set them free from the law of sin, the law of death, the oppression of performance and people-pleasing. Lord, I pray you would whisper to them even now through your Spirit, Jesus, that they are enough, that you love them, and that your love will never, ever, ever let them go. Lord, teach us what it is to rest, to really lean into you as our security and our identity. Thank you, thank you, thank you for loving us perfectly. In your name, Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. You are a treasure, Lisa Harper, and we just thank you for your time today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Susie.
Always good to be with you. Title of her book, again, is Overextended and Loving Most of It. Thanks for tuning in to Live the Promise. You can find a podcast of both hours up on our website at myfaithradio.com. When you're there, check out a few of the blog posts there. There's some really encouraging articles. Really glad you tuned in. I say this every day. You're going to hear it again. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.